Hello again, everybody. Welcome to another episode of Party Foul Radio. I'm your co-host, Poyo Del Mar.
And I'm Proteeth.
This will be episode 106 you're listening to. And we took a couple of weeks, well, we took 1 week off. It feels like a lot longer because I've just been really, really busy.
I think it's been 2 weeks.
Has it been?
Because I was sick 1 week and then you needed the next week off.
Oh, yes. So it was 2 weeks back to back. That's why it seems so long.
Mm-hmm.
So, well, how have you been, Pearl? I have not been keeping up with her, so...
I have been doing great. You guys, I just turned 31, so I had a really nice little birthday weekend that just passed. But before that, girl, it has been so long, I can't even remember. It's mostly been work, girl. Work, getting ready for my birthday, the birthday happens, and now I'm getting ready for, like, my actual birthday celebration.
You're not done celebrating yet?
No, because for my birthday, I literally just worked. I had work, and then work after work. And then I had a day off to myself, which was nice. I wouldn't really consider that celebrating. Then I had work again the next day. I had people that came out to HSF and, you know, watched the show and hung out and stuff afterwards. But I actually decided to treat myself to a little trip to New York to celebrate my birthday.
Oh, well, congratulations.
Yeah, that's coming up. And then on top of that, my little brother is gifting me a trip to Hawaii.
Oh, wow.
Literally 2.5 weeks after my trip to New York, or after I get back from my trip to New York. So I will be celebrating not here.
She'll be celebrating all over, all month long.
Right. Forever. It'll be wonderful.
So, well, that is very cool. You've never been to Hawaii, have you?
Never been to Hawaii or New York.
Oh, my gosh.
And luckily I know people in both places, which I'm so lucky because I've always said if I left the city, in my perfect world, I would either move to Hawaii or New York. And to be able to travel to both of them for the first time less than a month apart is like a dream come true.
Okay. Well, it seems odd to me that you would have chosen to move to two places you've never been, but...
Well, I haven't been to many places at all, so I wouldn't just say... That's like saying, well, I wouldn't move at all. I haven't been anywhere, girl.
Right.
Based off of assumptions of the places, I think I would choose New York, because New York is... I've lived in suburbia, and it's not for me, so I definitely need a bigger city, and I've been to other cities like Seattle and stuff, and I don't get enough city from it. So I just feel like the only other place that could match San Francisco would be a place like New York. And as far as Hawaii, which is the polar opposite, I just feel like it would be an extremely great change of pace to live in a place like Hawaii.
I love visiting Hawaii. I think that it's a wonderful place to be and spend time. It is enchanting whenever I'm there. I don't think that I could live there. The pace is very slow. You can go to places that are far more tourist attractions.
Mm-hmm.
I do not particularly love those places. Like, I'm not a huge fan of the Big Island. I'm not a big fan of, like, Honolulu. My favorite place in Hawaii is in Maui.
Actually the island I'm visiting.
Maui?
Maui.
Maui, yeah, Maui's great. Maui is very... But Maui is very slow. There is nothing going on there.
Like, I love it. I cannot wait. We'll see if my opinion changes when I get back, but I'm so excited and so lucky. So my brother is paying for my trip to... He's paid for my trip to Hawaii. And then my best friend V is... And her partner is gifting me the place we're staying.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
In Hawaii.
Yeah.
Okay.
But New York is a... you guys are going to gag. So I actually gifted myself this trip to New York. When I went online, I was originally going to go to Miami. And I was like, well, I also have friends in New York who have been wanting me to go out there for years and years and years. So I looked at prices, and girl, you're going to gag. Tickets, round trip, nonstop flights, $220.
Wow. That is really, really great. That is very, very
incredible.
Good. Yeah. I mean, you can usually get them for like $300, mid-$300s maybe.
Girl, that's cheaper than a trip to Seattle from San Francisco.
Yeah, that's really, really inexpensive.
And it's not like I'm flying, like, kayak or anything. I'm flying, like, Delta there and I think United back.
Yeah. But, I mean, having a quality aircraft and an air carrier is, like, very important.
Especially on that long of a flight.
Yeah. I mean, there's places that I'm, like, there's carriers that you can get that are really inexpensive. I'm like, nope, I can't do it. Mm-hmm. Like, Spirit Airways, do not do it, folks.
I've heard terrible things about Spirit.
Spirit is dreadful.
I mean, unless they want to sponsor us, then, girl.
Yeah, but even then, I would have to be like, yeah, right. Well, thank you for your sponsorship, but...
No, thanks.
I mean, well, yeah, because, I mean, I can't really go against my own experience. Spirit was horrible.
What was wrong with it?
They legitimately... The reason it's so inexpensive is because, basically, they're only charging you kind of for a seat, and anything else that you want is extra. You, by the time you're done, like, you know, they're like, I'm sorry, you buckled the seatbelt. That's an extra $12.
Really?
I mean, just, like, everything. You have to pay for any luggage, basically, not just, like, one or whatever.
Wait, you get a carry-on?
You do get a carry-on. I think it's, like, literally probably a carry-on. It was insane. It was very... I just did not enjoy the experience at all. And they also tend to be, like, smaller aircraft, so it's, like...
Kind of scary.
Well, it's like riding a... And the way they treat it, it's like riding a Greyhound in the sky. It's like, okay.
You know. Really?
Yeah. And I'm talking about a bus, not like the dog, you know. Can you imagine? But just like... anyway, so... Well, that's really great. That is fantastic.
I know.
Happy birthday.
I'm so excited.
You are picking the beginning of a decent time to go to New York because...
It's going
to
be a beautiful...
It'll finally just be getting nice.
Yeah. I'm so excited. I have a couple friends that live in Manhattan. One of my best friends lives in Manhattan who I'll be staying with. So it's not like I had to pay for, like, expensive lodging out there.
Yeah. That's very important.
Yeah.
Because things are very costly there. I love New York. There was a number of years ago, probably like 8 years ago now, that I had been considering doing like a bi-coastal thing, going back and forth between the two and between here and there. And I definitely love it. I enjoy the pace of the city. I enjoy the atmosphere and culture and the diversity of the city. So if you've never been, you'll enjoy it. What?
Why didn't you do it?
Because I was... At the time, I was in a relationship, and he lived there, and he was starring in a Broadway musical, and so we had met while he was on tour with that musical here in San Francisco, and we were dating for, like, the better part of, like, a whole year before he went back to New York. And so when he went back to New York, I started going back and forth between here and there to visit him, and... I was looking at the possibility of moving out there, and then we stopped seeing each other. So I was like, okay, well, that's not going to happen. So, but at the time I was actually one of our guests, former guests on the show was living out there, Jack McEnroth.
Mm-hmm.
And he had invited me to like be to be his roommate. He had this beautiful place. So I was like, it'd be cool to be like, live on the East Coast with him part-time, like 2 weeks a month, and then come back here.
Bomb.
But
what have you been up to? I know you, the last time we talked, you had a potential job interview.
Well, I did have a job interview. I had a job interview, it was almost a month ago, and I'm not going to name the location, but I will share the experience that I had. So I went in for an interview, and I thought that it went fairly well. I didn't think it was, I thought there were... It was very long. It was like an hour and a half job interview.
Mm-hmm.
And it was, I thought that parts of it went extremely well. And I thought that parts of it were a little bit rocky. There were like, I felt like their questions were, they had a tendency to ask like 3-part questions and be like, and what are your thoughts on this? And then this, and this. And I was just like, so there are times when I wish, in retrospect, when I left, that I had just been like, okay, I'm going to answer the first part first, and then we'll come back, you know, and mm-hmm. you can repeat the second. But in the moment, I instead sort of just like, it was difficult for me to focus because they were asking so many things at once. And so I didn't feel like my 100% my best, but I did feel like it recovered really well. And then I felt good about the interview when I left. And I was very, it was a role I was very, very interested in at a local LGBT related nonprofit.
Mm-hmm.
And when I left, one of the last things that they said is that they're like, okay, we're going to, our next steps are that we will be in touch in about the next week and we'll, you know, go from there. And I was like, terrific. So the next day I sent them an email response follow up saying like, thank you for meeting with me. Thank you for your time. These are some questions that you asked, and I don't feel that I got to address as fully as I would have liked.
Mm-hmm.
And these are my thoughts, like, you know, and to me, and I said this in the email, to me, this shows like that you really sort of like got me intrigued by the thoughts of this job, and I'm, you know, stayed with me, and I'm actually, which is a good sign for me. So a full week goes by, 10 days go by. They don't respond to my email. They don't send me anything.
Mm-hmm.
So I was like, this is odd, because they did say, they said that they would be in touch within a week.
Yeah.
Like, so then 10 days later, I emailed them and I said, hi, you know, I was just following up again. You know, I know that last week flew past for me, and I'm sure it did with you guys too. So I just wanted to touch base to find out what the next steps are in this process. Nothing, not a word. So then another week goes by and I ran into one of the three people who interviewed me.
Wow.
At an event. Okay. So at an event, at the Trans Day of Visibility event, we took photos together, a group of us, and he and I individually. So I got home that night and I emailed him the photos and said, here are the photos from the weekend. Really great seeing you. Like, you know, hope to hear back from you. But the thing was, I said, I'm interested in using, you know, if you will give me permission, I want to use this in a marketing project, potentially use these photos in a marketing project that I'm doing for the Imperial Council of San Francisco. You know, but I would rather have your express permission. Right. So he responds back, thanks for the photos. They're great. Good seeing you too. Yeah. Feel free to use the photos. So I responded back, thank you so much for getting back to me about this. I would like to still follow up and find out what the next steps are in the interview process. Not a word.
Girl, shady.
Not a word. So this is, the unfortunate thing is a number of my friends are like, well, a lot of LGBT specific nonprofits, that's sort of like, they're really bad about follow through and bad about follow up and all this stuff.
I don't know about that, girl.
I don't think so either. I think that that sounds like an excuse to me.
It does.
But at the same time, you know, so to bring this whole thing to a conclusion, you guys, yesterday I got a call from the person who I was talking about emailing,
mm-hmm.
saying that they had decided with another candidate and made an offer and they're moving forward in that direction. Well,
why
that's does fine.
It take so goddamn long.
It was like, I mean, the thing about this was I sat and I was like, do I just feel entitled to, like, you know, because I know that I'm fierce in this job or that I'm really well connected in the city and that, like, I could do this job. Do I feel entitled by that fact? And then I said, no, like, I just feel like I departed an interview. They are the ones who told me a deadline that they were going to follow. Right. Next week, we'll be in touch.
Yeah.
They set the deadline. I didn't. Had they not told me that, I'd have been like, well, maybe, you know.
Yeah.
But they specifically told me a follow-up timeline. Then I was like, okay, so then I made another excuse for them. Well, maybe they're just super busy because they are down a person.
Uh-huh.
Okay, maybe they are super busy. I emailed them three times. He could respond back to some photos, but he couldn't just say, right. Like, I wasn't expecting, like, a you're hired or some kind of a promise. I was just, like, to me, if you come in to learn about something and then you actively follow up with the person saying, thank you for inviting me in, it's not only common courtesy, but it's professional.
Right.
It's a sign of professionalism to say, thank you for coming
right.
in.
We not value responding 3 weeks later.
We value your time. Almost four. Like, mm-hmm. you know, so what it came down to is when I got that phone call yesterday, like, saying that they had gone with this other candidate, first of all, I was like, well, thank God that's, like, now off of the back of my mind, right. number one. And number two, I was like, well, I'll be fucked if I call you back ever. Right. Anyway. And then the third thing I thought was, you know, I'm really glad it went this way, because even if they had called and invited me for a second round of interviews, I was so irritated by this. I would have had to address it during the interview and said, like, just so you know, you invited me in to interview for a marketing position. And one of the things that I would tell you as a marketing professional, even if I was just talking to you as two people, is that you, as whoever you are, represent this nonprofit organization in your interactions with people. Specifically, I'm not saying, like, if you run into people at the club, they're like, oh, that's so-and-so from whatever nonprofit. But if you interact with somebody as a representative of your organization, your behavior then, in a professional setting, represents that organization.
Right.
So they invited me in for an internal look at their organization, which they told me was doing amazing now and all this stuff, and yet turned around and treated me in all the ways that the organization, in my experience, has been perceived by the public. They're not very welcoming. They're not very forthcoming with information. They're not very open to interactions. Like, you know, they don't, and it would appear that they don't value members of the, I mean, there's all these things that I actually sat with them and said, well, these are some things that I think are perceptions, and I'll be damned if their own behavior didn't, like, sort of reinforce it.
Yeah.
So, but the bright side of this, there is a silver lining to this whole story, you guys. And that is that in the midst of all of this other related bullshit, I got a message from one of my drag children and said, I have a regional brand marketing representative position that's available and I need to fill it immediately. Can you send me your resume? And I started as a regional brand marketing representative at Sephora representing a skincare line over the weekend.
Oh, nice.
So, yes, it pays pretty well. I've only finished 2 days of training, and I will go back in for my third day of training on Friday. But I think I'm going to do really, really well at it. Plus, I love Sephora.
Well, look at Poya. All grown up. Finally got a job, girl.
Well, finally got a job that Pearl recognizes as a job. That's what it comes down to.
Whatever, girl.
But I will tell you this, honey. Since leaving the cafe back in August, even I have been like, girl, it's time to get a real job, because finances have been hard, and the cafe was like the bread and butter of my income source. So basically the stuff that I've been doing since the cafe used to be all of my extra spending money, all of my extra like, you know, girls night out bullshit, whatever. And then it had become my primary source of income, and it was really tight, like, you know. So I am very grateful. Thank you to my daughter Brianna Cracker for coming through with keeping mother off the streets. And I'm not talking about living on them. I'm talking about working them. Hello, bitch.
I actually ran into Brianna last week. I was hanging out with my brother, and we ran into her after she had gotten off work.
She's probably done it either Powell or Embarcadero when you guys ran into her. So I am going to be representing, I represent the Belief brand. I'm a Beliefer. And I will be representing Belief at something like 7 or 8 regional markets here in the Bay Area. So you'll catch me all over. If you're in the Bay Area, you'll catch me all over, because I'll be everywhere from San Jose to all the way out and sometimes in Walnut Creek here throughout the city. I trained the first day at Embarcadero and my second day on the job was in Emeryville. And I actually really like the Emeryville store. Have you ever been over to the Emeryville store? Yeah, I love that. Like, that little plaza is amazing. So it's kind of cool. It's a very different vibe, and I really dig
that. My mother used to work in that plaza.
Oh, really?
So do you think you're going to get a car again?
Eventually, yeah. I definitely eventually will be back driving. So, you know, it's a whole process right now, because the only reason I don't have a car now is just because of financial reasons. So once this starts to, like, get underway, I mean, Bree is already trying to once I get on my feet with Belief, is sort of trying to, like, pimp me out to other brands to, mm-hmm. like, so it's possible that this will become something where I would probably be freelancing or working with, like, two, three brands.
Mm-hmm.
They actually asked me, I guess that, Bare Minerals asked about me working with them as a brand marketing rep, and I was like, well, I don't really feel comfortable applying, I mean, makeup to women at a Sephora, you know. Then again, it's like Tap Swirl Swirl or whatever, Swirl Tap Tap is their whole thing. I'm like, oh, it's...
Bare Minerals.
Yeah.
Aren't they a little different than standard cosmetics?
Yeah.
I think they're predominantly skincare using cosmetics or something like that.
Yeah. So, I mean, my area of specialty at the moment will become or is and will become more so skincare and skin because in this I actually love the Sephora corporate culture from what I've been immersed in so far just in the couple days.
Mm-hmm.
I love it because it's not competitive. If you're listening and you are a Sephora client, know that nobody's ever going to necessarily try to like really hardcore sell you something because nobody's right. on commission. Even people like myself who are in the store paid to be there by one of the brands, it is ingrained in you that you are supposed to be client focused, meaning if I'm asking you what you want and there's something in my brand that fits that, I can suggest it. But if there's something that I know that is better, I'm also like strongly encouraged. Even the brands tell their representatives, like, look, this is the culture. They're like, it's not about us. Like, we want to make the client happy because then they'll come back and it gives us a renewed opportunity.
Right.
So it's really the way it should be. I've been in situations with sales where I was on commission. I put myself through college many, many years ago, selling stuff on commission in a retail environment. And I didn't really love it just because there were times when, like, I wanted what was best for the customer, but at the same time, like, I was obligated to make sales, and it's like, mm-hmm. it doesn't kind of mesh very well.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, no, I hate retail, girl. Hate it. Been there, done that, tried to get a refund, girl, no.
Well, I mean, I definitely think there are certain personality types that it fits better with and some that it doesn't.
Yeah.
I'll probably change my tune after Friday because Friday's some big, huge... It's the beginning of a huge sale at Sephora.
Uh-huh.
Like their Beauty Insider sale, and I'm like...
I'm a Beauty Insider.
Yes, girl. Everybody,
I actually need to go because I need to go pick up my birthday gift.
Well, yes, go get your birthday gift, but if you're a Beauty Insider at Sephora, you also... should have already been notified that this Friday is like a 15% off everything in stock sale.
Bomb.
So, and you know that there's some people who are like, so there's tiers of Beauty Insiders. There's like the ultimate one that you want to be is the VIBR, which is the rouge level, which means that you spend $1,000 a year or more there. Girl, that's a lot of makeup.
Right.
Do you know that there's some people who are like, basically considered VIBR platinums, which means they spend like $40,000 or $50,000. Could you imagine spending $50,000 a year at Sephora?
Not $50,000, but I could see it at like $1,000 or what did you say the other one was?
So the levels are like anybody can be a VIB. VIB. So if you shop there one time, you're considered their VIB if you sign up for the thing. And then there's the next level up, which is. It signifies that you spend like $300 a year, which, girl, it's easy.
That's easy. You can do that in easy. One trip.
You can do it in barely a trip. Especially if you go in there and you get obsessed with a particular cosmetic line, you know what I mean? Girl, you can spend $300 on eyeshadows from Makeup Forever if you like.
Right.
I mean, that's just the truth. And then that's $300 or more, and then the VIBR, the rouge level, is over $1,000. So
yeah, I wouldn't be surprised if I've hit that.
I know that there are people who, you know, when you think of somebody who spends like $1,000 a year or whatever on cosmetics and other associated things, you would think like maybe a makeup artist or whatever. And then I think to myself, there are certain people who
Women who wear makeup every day. Like, I'm sure that
wear makeup every day. And
not to mention people who are really like into skincare.
Right. I mean,
skincare is not cheap.
No, it's very easy. The great thing about Belief is that a lot of times people are shocked and overwhelmed by the price of other brands. And then Belief is extremely comparable in all levels to some of the stuff that is legitimately two or three times. Like, one of our most expensive products is like $48, which to me...
That's great.
To me, that's expensive, but I'll give you an example. This guy and his girlfriend came in, and he was looking for, like, a special face wash. I showed him ours. He ended up buying it. It was, like, $26. And his girlfriend was like, his girlfriend was like, my face wash is 70-some dollars.
That's real.
I was like, damn.
I swear I used to use a moisturizer that was, like, $90.
Yeah, I mean, and you figure, like, during the course of a year, you would probably go through, like, two or three moisturizers.
Right.
You know, if you're a woman who wears makeup and you use a face wash every day and it's like $70, you're talking at least 3, 4, 5 of those a year.
Right. And that's the only, like, that's only one thing.
So, yeah. The point is, there's people who are so accustomed, like, in the fall, they have a 20% sale there. They were like, girl, when you come in on Friday, you're going to see, these people are going to be like, what? Only 15%?
Girl, I'm coming through.
I mean, most people like 15% for a store that has legitimately only two sales a year. Bitch, get your ass
right.
Your ass there and get on it. So that's my corporate shout out to Sephora. I'm like, only reason I'm pushing it is because of the fact that I know about it. Mm-hmm. So, and I know, like, I actually really like some of the stuff. And I had no idea Sephora was based here in San Francisco either. No idea.
I interviewed for a position. I knew that, but that's only because I interviewed for a position a long time ago. A very long time ago.
Well, in my round of sending off resumes and stuff, I hadn't sent off response to, like, these countless, like, job postings from Sephora, for Sephora. And I kept thinking that it was probably, like, some kind of, like, store, like, level position, and I didn't realize these are actually above that. They're in the corporate Sephora, and then they work with the store level because they're local. So,
right.
But I'm excited. I'm kind of like digging it. I've been taking a lot better care of my skin over the last week. I'll tell you that because I've been trying a bazillion different products. We shall see.
That's bomb, girl. That's gonna come in handy. You're gonna save so much money.
Yeah. I think that. I just really like, first of all, I just love being in the stores. I mean, the first day when I was, like, sort of training, if there's downtime, like, one of the things I love to do is just, like, go around and, like, read the product, about the products, and look at what's going on, and so, and then, of course, I completely wandered outside of my area, which is, my, quote, world is skincare, and so I wandered over to the, quote, color world. That's what they call makeup. Makeup is color. And, And I didn't know that for the first, like, 2 hours. They're like, she's a color specialist. And I was like, she does color match? I didn't know what the hell it meant. But anyway, there is a Kat Von D lipstick that I'm obsessed with. It's called Homegirl. I'm going to be picking that bitch up, too. Homegirl by Kat Von D. You'll be seeing more of that to come.
I live. Her lip stains are bomb. Well, that's bomb.
Yes.
What's been going on with the Imperial Council?
Well... It has been very, very busy. With being empress is a lot of work, you guys. So Leandro Gonzalez, my emperor, went to New York. He represented us in New York. And originally I had thought that I was going to go, but as it turned out, I chose to stay here because of a variety of reasons. And it turned out to be perfect because then all of a sudden this opening came up and I...
Right.
Like, it was really wonderful, this opening, because... A, I didn't have to go through any interview process. Literally, I was just hired and put on the floor, like, in 24 hours. Nice. So, I went in to see Brie, actually, because she was just at work. And she's like, we're having a big event at work. You know, whatever, we're going to have free food and free music. And I was like, free food?
Right, I'm there.
So, I went. And then, like, before I left, I was hired and on the schedule for the next day.
Nice.
So, for 2 days later. So, and she would have started me, like, the day on Saturday, the next day. But I was like, girl, it's already scheduled. I need to, you know. So, but with the Imperial Council, big thing that is coming up this Thursday, by the time you're listening to this, it will be our investiture, or in our case, it's in restiture. It's a night of pro wrestling themed action and entertainment.
Mm-hmm.
And we're going to have the Stars of Wrestling for Charity with us at Investiture. It's going to be really fun. Investiture, have you ever been to an Investiture event? Girls and boys, anybody who's listening, all those in between, if you've ever been to 80% of any imperial or court-related functions, they are usually rather tedious. So this particular event is usually the presentation of a lot of certificates and awards to people to get them invested in your court. And we'll still have to do that. But because of the fact that we knew how annoying that process is, we decided to wrap it up in some really fun stuff. So we're going to have, like, wrestling-related storylines running through the whole show, like combinations of actual professional wrestlers from Wrestling for Charity and local members of the drag community, and it's just going to be...
That sounds cute.
It is. It's going to be fun. It's going to be different. And we have a real wrestling ring that's going to be set up.
Where is this happening?
It's happening at El Toro Nightclub, the same place that we do Wrestling for Charity. This is a proof of our, like, of...
Program.
Of our program. We decided we were going to make this little program for the Investiture. We thought it was going to be, like, two pages front and back folded together. Girl, it turned out to be... Obviously, this is a mock-up. So, it turned out to be 20 pages long because Leandro knows so many people and I know so many people. So, it's going to be really fun. It's going to be really cute. I'm very excited about that. And I don't know if you've read this, Pearl, but I was officially promoted by Wrestling for Charity to be their new co-general manager.
Oh, nice. So, wait, what does that mean?
It means that it's... So...
Oh, wait, so you're... Okay, I get it. That's pretty cool.
I'm going to actually be in charge of the San Francisco division of this wrestling organization. I'm going to be helping book it. I'm going to be helping promote it. I'm going to be very, very actively involved. So, it's going to be very... There's going to be big changes coming for the Wrestling for Charity organization here in San Francisco. We're calling it the El Toro division. So I am the co-general manager of the El Toro division of Wrestling for Charity now. Some of my friends were like, is this just a storyline? I was like, actually, it's not. This is like a real thing. I mean, there's a storyline element to it, but I'm actually going to be stepping up to really take a more hands-on role in this, and I'm excited about it. So
how exciting.
I know. It's like my dreams are just coming true, bitch.
Right, girl.
I'm Empress. I've got a job. Right. I'm going to be like... promoting wrestling.
That's sickening, girl. Well, bomb. And then you're also judging the Castro Country Club pageant.
I am going to be one of the three judges at the 9th annual Castro Country Club pageant. The Miss Castro Country Club pageant.
Hosted by Sister Roma and Ethelina Kane.
Can.
Wow.
So Ethelina Can and Sister Roma are going to be the special celebrity guests. We've had both on the show before. Ethelina Can called to tell us about being the winner of the Best in Drag competition down in Los Angeles. And, of course, Sister Roma is Sister Roma.
Legendary, you know. Y'all know Sister Roma.
The most photographed nun in the world. So I'm going to be co-judging that with my daughter, Intensive Claire, who is a past Miss Castro Country Club, and Miss Shugana, who is the reigning Grand Duchess of San Francisco.
You know anyone who's running?
So, the Castro Country Club pageant is for sober or sober-identified queens. And I know that Vicky Sparkle Tits is running. I know that Minnie Happy Returns is running. Menorah Manischewitz is running. Charmin Ultra is running. There may be one or two more, but I don't know. I'm trying to know as little about the event as possible going into it because I don't want to feel biased or I don't want to feel like overly informed or anything of that nature. So,
well, I haven't had the pleasure of meeting any of them, but good luck, ladies.
Last year when MGM Grand won, I was hosting the event, and MGM, of course, is one of my best friends. She's one of my homegirls. And when they crowned her, Shigella makes complete fun of me because I literally was like, ah! I started sobbing and ran and tried to hide in a corner. And but the thing was, I was the host, so I was like right in the front. And she's like, way to run. She goes, I just know that you didn't want anybody to see you sobbing, which is why you ran across the very front of the audience.
Right.
In front of the stage and went and hid in a corner.
I love Shigella.
She's such a fucking a sniz.
I love it.
But anyway, yeah, so I was like, well, bitch, I really didn't have much choice. Where am I supposed to go? I'm in the front of the audience. And, like, I did not want me, as the host, like, boo-hooing to distract from the moment. So I tried to get out of the fucking way. But when you're in front of the room, there's, like, not any options to go.
Well, huge congratulations to my girl MGM Grand on her successful reign as
very successful
country club. And I hope you have a wonderful and amazing step down.
And from things that you might have noticed in that program, she's got other aspirations coming up.
It sounds like she do.
So we shall see, I'm sure, more from her. By the way, something that I want to circle back to for about the investiture. So investiture is not only when the emperor and empress name their primary court, but we also name our imperial crown prince and imperial crown princess, which is like our second command. Like they're the go-to. If we're not able to attend an event, they often will attend in our place. And this year, the current reigning imperial crown princess, who reigned under Mercedes Monroe, Empress Mercedes Monroe, is Cameron Steele. And she was the first cisgender female crown princess in the history of the Imperial Council of San Francisco. So in 53 years, she's the first cisgender female to hold that position.
Well, and have they had a female at all?
They've never had a female. They've never had a trans female.
So they've never had a woman, period.
No. And they've never had a woman. So, and then, so we're going to be following in the footsteps of having Cameron as the first cisgender female, and my royal crown, or my imperial crown princess is going to be Brother Kerrigan.
Oh my God, such a good choice.
So, Brother Kerrigan,
so good.
Who will reign as just Kerrigan, is a transgender, non-binary identified woman. And she is already the first transgender member of her order. She's a Gregorian monk. And she's the first transgender, openly transgender member of her order in her religious faith. And now she will become the first transgender individual or declared non-binary individual, for that matter, to reign as Imperial Crown Princess.
Is she the first transgender person in the court?
No. I mean, Kipper was Miss Gay.
Oh, that's right.
San Francisco. Patrice was Miss Gay San Francisco.
Is that the Ducal Court? Or is that
no, those are Imperial Court.
Oh, okay.
So, there's been a number of transgender women who have been in various smaller or in various women in other roles, like in general, trans and cis. Like, there have been, like, Kit Tapata was the first female or drag king to reign as Mr. Gay San Francisco a number of years ago. There have been a number of women in other roles, but they've never been either a monarch, meaning emperor, empress, or a imperial crown prince or imperial crown princess. So, and it was not until very recently that San Francisco had women who reigned as monarchs in the ducal court either. So, of course, the current reigning Grand Duke and Grand Duchess, the first all-female crew of monarchs in the ducal court, Mad Dog 2020 is drag king, and Miss Shigena is, I guess, what people call, some people call a bio queen or a faux queen. Yeah. So,
That reminds me that...
Anyway, but Brother Kerrigan is... Kerrigan is going to be so amazing in that role. Such a go-getter and such a lovely person.
Really, really great. I hope her energy rubs off on some of the rest of the people that are in the system.
Well, what I can say is this. Like, I understand you. I understand, like, your feelings about some of the people in the system. There's certain, like, there are certain people who are, like, very, very outspoken. And sadly, it's always the most outspoken and rudest that sort of, like, color the experience for everybody. But since stepping up as Empress at the end of February, I've had nothing yet but glowing experiences with every single person.
Go ahead.
It's been remarkable to the point of shocking to me, not because I thought that the people were going to be horrible or whatnot, but because of the fact that I know that the organization tends to be very traditional and very slow to embrace new things as a culture. The court system tends to be that way. And I knew that I have a different perspective. So, like, there was a possibility that there was going to be a culture clash.
That is also a very unique experience, because I do know other, our past empresses who have not had that same experience.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
But fortunately, I do think things are changing, because Mercedes said the same thing. Mercedes said that she had never had any real incidences whatsoever. Yeah. And so that's the last 2 years of us. And I think that, yeah, I mean, I don't know if it's an individual experience. I don't know if it's something that is a sign that some of the system is changing. Regardless, I'm not going to look a gift horse in the mouth, honey, because right now, shit's going super smoothly for me. And I've got an amazing counterpart, and Leandro is incredible. He's so connected in the community.
He really is.
There are so few people that I spend time with that I'm like, I wish I was as popular as this bitch. But Leandro is somebody I'm like, I wish I was as popular as this bitch.
Leandro is such a sweetheart. He has been telling me about his just wanting to run for so long. And I was like, girl, just do it.
So,
do it.
He is wonderful. And he is a go-getter. And we offset each other really, really beautifully in different ways. His areas of strength are not my areas of strength, and my areas of strength are not his areas of strength. And really, when it comes down to it, I think that that's what makes any kind of a good partnership. You know what I mean? Like, the two people are able to be a yin and a yang to each other. But we also are very well connected individually, and that together brings a lot of people together. So, I'm just very grateful that I'm having that experience with him. He's also just as sweet as he could possibly fucking be.
Yeah.
Just,
so shout out to Leo.
Yeah. Leandro. Somebody was like, you're just disgusting with him, because every time I see a picture of him, I'm like, isn't he so cute? I'm like, look how adorable he is.
He just looks so happy. He looks so, like, he is truly, like, glowing.
Yeah. Like, when so his crown is like this, like, wreath of laurel leaves sort of, like, sits on his head, and it's actually really heavy, and it doesn't fit particularly well. And so, and it's, poor baby, because I know that it hurts, because it'll slide down, it'll press his ears sort of down like this.
Oh, no.
And I just think it is the fucking cutest thing. I'm like, look at those little ears! Like, in every picture, I'm like, oh! And he'll be like, oh, like, I don't like the fact my ears were pushed down or whatever. I'm like, I just think they're so cute. I'm like, I just know it hurts you, but I think it's so cute.
But I'm speaking of women in new places. Today is actually Equal Pay Day.
Oh, wow. Okay, great.
To kind of bring awareness to the fact that both women and blacks and Hispanics get paid 20% less than the average person.
Yes.
So, shout out to Equal Pay Day. Girl, get that money. Don't let people take advantage of you. It's not right.
I remember when Patricia Arquette was on the podcast, and we did the interview with Patricia, and she was talking about, you know, some of the pay she got in. For listeners out there, when Patricia Arquette accepted her Oscar for Best Supporting Actress in a film, she got under a huge amount of, like, scrutiny, because she shouted out saying, like, all of these amazing actresses and women in the industry should not be getting paid so much less. Women in general get paid X amount less than men and whatever. Right. So all these people gave her shit about it, right? So when I was asking her about that, and then about her connection to the LGBTQ community, and of course her sister was transgender. So she said, like, you know, if you're a woman, you're already getting paid less. And then, God forbid that you're a woman, a trans woman of color, because you
then
are
you have
really
to worry about getting hired, period.
She's like, right. Well, then you're really, like, at the bottom of, like, the, you know, the pecking order. Native Americans probably would not like a totem pole reference, but
oh,
Landa always is like, is that a Native reference?
Oh, I had no idea. Good to know. You learn something new every day.
I always say it just to piss her off, but...
You're terrible.
I'm assuming that if we say a pecking order, that no birds are going to be disrupted. Maybe they'll get their feathers ruffled. But yeah, you're like, you know, you start to layer all of these intersectionalities of your identity, and then the more, it's kind of like the more things that you check off, like, next thing you know, you're like, well, I guess that, like, I'm their last hope. Like, if they... Only if this person and that person and the other one doesn't get it, then maybe they'll look at me. Mm-hmm. So,
yeah.
Anyway, that's real. Go back if you guys haven't listened to this. It was a 2-part interview because the interview was really heavy at times and really funny at times. But back in, I think it was like October, November, we did an interview with Oscar winner Patricia Arquette here on the podcast. And she was just so insightful and so compassionate, just really lovely. Mm-hmm. So, go back in our archives and take a listen to that. Hey, speaking of celebrity interviews, this episode we have a Real World Denver star, Davis Mallory, on. He's got some new music coming out very soon. He's actually got a brand new single out right now. Look him up on YouTube or Vevo or wherever you go to find your new music. That's Davis Mallory, and he will be on Party Foul Radio right after this. Each and every episode of Party Foul Radio is brought to you by our sponsors, Daddy's Barbershop. Located at 4102 19th Street in the Castro, Daddy's Barbershop was voted San Francisco's favorite barbershop in the 2017 Bestie Awards. Go visit Arlen, Jesse, and all the men and women of Daddy's Barbershop to get your hair done for the summer. Daddy's Barbershop is a proud sponsor of Party Foul Radio.
Hey, this is Delta Work, and you're listening to Party Foul Radio with Poyo and Pearl, brought to you by Left Magazine.
Hey there.
Hey there, how are you?
Good, how are you?
Good. Yeah, I think you sent me my phone number, too, San Francisco.
Yeah, I have...
Is that your last name?
Yeah. Okay.
I wonder when we met, but I've been to San Francisco like 4 or 5 times.
Yeah,
so I'm not surprised that we met, but.
It was funny because I, you know, you texted me and your name popped up and I was like, well, maybe it's because, you know, he mentioned his name and I was like, nope, it's saved to my phone. And I've been going through my head. It's like, it is a very small world though.
Oh yeah. I came out to San Francisco for Halloween one year and I did a bar appearance with Chris Crocker. And then I did another year I came out to San Francisco for some gay bars brought me out there when I was fresh off of the Real World. So, those are really the only times I've been, but maybe we met at one of those events, during one of those trips.
Yeah, I mean, I guess it's possible. Like I said, it's a small, small gay world.
For sure.
Now, congratulations on the release of your new single, and you've got your EP everything. Like, things seem to be going really well musically for you.
Yes, yeah, it's work. It has its ups and its downs. There's times where I'll write a song, and I'm really attached to it, and something doesn't happen for some reason or not others. I feel like it's a bit of like a battle with music, trying to make it happen in the music industry. So I'll take your congratulations off and thank you for it, but just know that it's a lot of work in many ways.
So. Oh, yeah, I mean, I was reading a little bit about the journey that you've had in terms of getting your music made and distributed, and you are legit on the hustle a lot. You are shopping your own music, you're writing your own music, you're recording your own music. So that goes a long way. I mean, it speaks volumes about your passion for the industry because you are busting your ass to make it happen on your own, sort of, in a way.
Yeah. I don't have a label or an agent or a manager, so that can show itself in sort of like the budget behind my videos or you know, the marketing push. I'm kind of self-contained at the moment, or self-managed, so to speak. So that's where I'm at today. I hope it's something, you know, someone will come in the picture at some point in the near future, ideally. And just, but you know, at this point in time, it's good to be an independent artist. There's like a lot of creative control, and I don't have someone telling me what to do or what to write about. It's all music that I'm, it's all my own ideas.
Yeah, and it seems like from everything I was seeing that you are really able to connect, and you have been connecting with a lot of people in the music industry, different producers from around the world that you are kind of reaching out to, and they're working in collaboration with you. So it seems like it would be a pretty creative process for you.
It is, exactly, yeah. I did, for the last few years, like, contact people just straight off of Instagram and tell them I was a singer and ask them if they had instrumentals they wanted me to write on, or if opposite, they wanted to hear some of my available original songs that were not released, and they would want the acapella. So that's how a lot of stuff started for me, just through Instagram.
It's very interesting in a lot of ways, I think, because the day and age where people with talent seem to inaccessible are gone. I mean, it's a proven fact that you can reach almost anybody from the president to Taylor Swift to whomever just by going on Twitter. And it's a great way, an opportunity for people to connect who, in your case, you had, you know, vocals and or songs you wanted to record, and other people have other talents, whether it's production or they want to film a music video or things like that. It's a really amazing way for people to connect their talents.
Yeah, exactly.
Now, I read that a while back, like, one of the things that was influencing your writing process as you were heading into 2017. Now we're, like, you know, just a little bit into 2018, or I guess moderately into 2018 now, but is that you had gone through a breakup and it really inspired a lot of your musical, like, endeavors. So how are you bouncing back from that?
Yeah, so last year in 2017, I broke up with a guy I'd been with for 3 years, and he was not out of the closet, and he didn't want to ever come out. So me being openly gay on a reality TV show made it so clear, just very really different life experiences. This past year has been a year of me being single and enjoying that. I also became sober from alcohol in January of 2017. And that has been a great thing for me. I celebrated my first year of sobriety in January 2018. And I actually just, like, didn't date really much last year either. I was just working on my career, my dreams to become a, you know, successful recording artist. And in my newer music and stuff I've haven't released yet that I plan to, it's all sort of happy, kind of like happy, feel-good pop music with not a lot of, like, sad undertones to it. There's still a moment, some of that, in the music. For instance, the song that we're talking about, Dance With Me, has a mention of me being, like, my head gets caught in the moment, but my heart doesn't know it, which is, I think, in the last year, I did kind of, like, fall for a couple guys that were not eligible bachelors, and so been take off. For two different instances where I tried dating people that just didn't work out for me. And so some of that I still put into my lyrics.
Well,
yeah.
I really want to congratulate you on getting sober.
Thank you.
That is monumental. And it so happens that legit be celebrating 14 years sober.
Good job, man.
So, I mean, it's one of those things that you get to, like, you know, I found out when I stopped drinking that, well, in my case, like, stopped doing all kinds of shit, but I was like, whoa, I have so much more time to, like, focus on being productive now. Holy shit. Who knew? So.
That's it. So you completely understand.
Oh yeah. Absolutely. Yeah. I completely understand what it's like.
Yeah, I know. I don't go out a lot. Well, I DJ, so most nights of the week I'm either at my house, and on the weekends when I go out, I'm performing, so to speak. So I don't do a lot of, like, social bar hangouts anymore. It's just, it's mildly fun, but I don't think I really struggle with the temptation to drink anymore, which is amazing. But it's just, I get kind of annoyed when people are drunk.
It is very, very annoying when the people, there's all kinds of annoyances in that, because there's the people who, like, are spilling their drink on you, and then there's the other people who are, like, overly affectionate, like, I just love you. I'm just like, girl, get off me. So,
yeah. But I feel like one of the realizations that came to me in my 1 year was that I wish I'd gone, you know, I wish it wasn't 1 year, I wish it was like 10 or 15 years, because that would be awesome. And B, it's so much easier not having alcohol in your system to not crave it or want it at all. But people that are struggling with it can't see that because it's still a daily habit with them. But like once you kind of dry out of it, really easy to just keep the time going.
Yeah, I definitely understand and relate to that. I also just think that in general, I just didn't want to stop. I loved it. I also was doing all kinds of party drugs and like I was just the whole gamut. Honestly, that was what my entire identity was wrapped around. Like going out and partying and going out and drinking and going out to clubs. And now, thank God I'm able to do that all again, but I just do it in a completely different way. And as you said, when I go out, I'm working, you know what I mean? I go out to clubs and I'm working.
Yeah.
Now, tell me a little bit about the aesthetic in the music video, because you look like, I don't know, a 70s porn star or I'm not sure what.
Yeah. So, I mean, looking back at that shoot, I had zero idea going into the music video, what was the scene. Like, the thing I like about Micah, and I met Micah, the director, by acting in one of his movies when he was a film student. He cast me as an actor in his senior film, and when the project was over, it ended up winning Best Picture, Best Director, you pretty much name it, it won everything. But I could tell he was just a really creative kid. And he reached out to me after, realizing that I was a singer, saying he wanted to do a music video for me. So last summer, he gave me a free music video for a song of mine called Not That Far Away, and I really, really liked the way it turned out. This was my first time sort of hiring him to do a music video for me, which was with Dance With Me. But going into the music video, I didn't know anything about what we were going to do. I know that he has a tendency to sort of film like 5 or 6 different locations and then edit them together and in a very kind of like creative location. So I came over with a big boatload of clothing, and he picked out what he wanted me to be wearing in each different scene. The mustache was something I don't usually wear a mustache, but I started to shave, and I don't know if it was a God thing or if it was just serendipitous, but I started to shave, and I liked the way the mustache looked, but I just didn't take that off and showed up to the shoot. I was like, what do you think of the mustache? And he's like, I like it. Let's use it. And then I didn't know he had this idea to use an old-fashioned phone and a Polaroid camera, and then it sort of became a retro video unknowingly. I knew I wanted to be somewhat shirtless in the video. I gave him that much creative construction. And the rest just kind of came about in his editing. And it does have a very 70s porn star feel to it, which I'm... You know, one thing about me being a gay person, I came out on The Real World openly gay, but in my music videos, I haven't done a lot of gay narrative, like gay acting scenes, and I want to do that more often, and I want to push that even a little further with my new stuff. So for me, this is like my first sort of... It feels kind of gay when you watch it.
Well, I mean, it could be considered refreshing that you're not doing too much because, you know, we're inundated with images of borderline pornography. I mean, everybody, like heterosexual or otherwise, but gay culture, I think, is really, really inundated with a lot of that nudity or sexuality. And it doesn't always have to be. Like, sometimes it's okay to not be that. You know what I mean? There's...
For sure.
So I did want to ask you, like, in addition to the evolution of being a person, like you appeared on reality television very young, right out of college, and then continued to appear on reality television for a number of years and in various ways. Now you are a grown man in your 30s. What has it been like sort of growing up in the public eye like that?
Yeah, I do feel like in some ways, in a negative way, it would have, because I've been not pretty famous, but I've been, so to speak, famous for like 12 5 years, because people know who I am. People recognize me in my day-to-day life. They want, you know, back fresh off the real world, people want to take photos with me. And people recognize me in the mall and in the airport and, you know, at nightclubs and such. And now that doesn't really happen anymore. I would say in some ways, like, my drive isn't quite as strong as it could be if I hadn't gone through that process, because it's already given me that ability to feel sort of successful and famous. However, like, I never experienced fame for what it was I wanted to be famous for, which was to be a singer and to be a pop artist. And now I'm living in a city in Nashville where there are like 4 or 5 guys who are openly gay that are going after pop careers and are getting noted for it in the press or, you know, songs that are doing really well online. And I see them and I feel in some ways creatively like inspired by them or even influenced by what they're doing creatively. But then I'm also kind of following my own path as well. My style has lately been to be a featured singer with DJs while also simultaneously working on my own self-released music, which I have one coming out this year that I'm quite excited about, called The Sun and Moon is the name of the song. But yeah, I think the real world was a blessing in person, in summary, yeah.
Well, isn't that the way of everything in life? Like, you know, in the moment, it can seem like the best idea, and then later on, you're like, oh, shit, what did I just do?
Yeah.
But undoubtedly, the fact that you have that experience provides you additional opportunities that other people presumably would not have. So in the long run, I think it's, yeah, you know, it gives you name recognition, right?
Exactly.
So
yeah,
the other element of this idea of growing up in the public eye that I had is that when you stop drinking, you physically transformed considerably. You lost a significant amount of weight. You went through this whole transformation. And I was wondering, where is your mind around that now? Because that obviously has changed things for you on a personal level.
Yeah. Like, yeah, I was 210 pounds. I had platinum blonde hair in January of 2017. Now I'm like 175 pounds, and I have my natural hair color. I drastically look different and healthier is the difference. So, you know, I feel like I'm in a much better state of mind and physical look right now. So, and I owe becoming sober. I'm not 100% like strictly vegan, but most of the food I eat is vegan, and I run about 3 days a week. When I wasn't running at all back then, I thought chapter of my life. I think some of the things was like I was 30 and I was, you know, my metabolism had caught up to me, but I was also not super driven to work out. Probably depressed. I just was not really working on my physical body like that at all. I was kind of just ignoring it. And I was in a relationship, weighed on. All of that was to blame.
Everybody says that, like, everybody I know gets in this relationship and then they gain, like, all this weight. I'm the exact opposite. Now, this has been years since I remember this because I haven't been in a relationship for years. But as I recall, whenever I'm in a relationship, I become hyper neurotic and scared that I'll get, like, dumped. So I become better. I start taking better care of myself because I'm like, oh, no. I got to be if he liked before, I got to be better than that.
Yeah, well, that's smart of you. I'm a little bit of guilty of both. I mean, I guess it just depends on the kind of relationship that I'm in. I've definitely dated people where they were a fitness addict, so then I just got in better shape because I dated them. You know?
Right.
And then I've dated the guy where he doesn't care about his fitness at all, and he's lazy, and he likes to watch Netflix and like eat a lot of food and drink wine, and then I got fat in one of those relationships.
Okay, I have to ask you, going back to your earlier mention of your previous relationship, how is it that somebody who is, like, has achieved a level of celebrity, is an out celebrity from reality television, ends up in a relationship with somebody who is not out and does not plan to come out? That sort of confounds me.
Yeah, Yeah, we met off of Grindr. We had both moved to Nashville from New York City. I was in acting school while I was in New York. He was in improv school in New York, and he was in improv with Kenny Santucci from the Real World Road Rules Challenges and Zayn from Jersey Shore. So, and also I'm a Leo, and he's a Sagittarius. So we had just, like, a lot of strong common interests and life experiences. And when we met, like, we were pretty inseparable. We went to the gym together, and he was artistic with, like, building things. So we went through a moment where we were, like, painting a lot and building furniture and decorating things. So I really quite like, and I still quite like him. I think he's a great person. He's just, he had a younger brother come out, and the whole family became really upset about the experience of having a gay person in their family. And by witnessing that, he chose not to come out to the rest of his family. And that's where he was when we dated. I don't know where he is today with his old mentality, but I had a woman who says that she has psychic senses see a photo of him, and she said that she predicts he will marry a woman and never come out.
Wow.
That might be safe, yeah.
When I hear that story, when I put myself in your shoes, I get mad because I'm like, this is horrible. And then when I put myself in his shoes, I'm like, what a sad existence, because I can understand how it is that seeing somebody else's experience can color your own, like your decision-making, like, well, I don't want to experience, or I don't want to put my family through what they went through. But at the same time, like, I've been out for so long, I can't even remember what it's like to be in, you know what I mean? And I can't imagine putting somebody else's, like, emotional well-being or whatever in front of my own, because that doesn't end well. So I feel for him, but I'm glad that he moved away to give you an out.
Yeah.
So you've talked about a lot of musical projects that are upcoming. Where should your fans and supporters look for you next?
I mean, I'm on Instagram a good amount. And then, of course, Spotify has my official releases, where SoundCloud is a place I like to upload, like, demos and things that aren't done yet. People can preview and get a listen. One of the things that's frustrating about my career as a songwriter at this point in time is I receive a lot of instrumentals to write songs on top of them, and then, let's say, another singer is competing with me for the same release, my song doesn't get to go out to the world. So sometimes in those instances, I'll put stuff like that on SoundCloud because I'll probably never be able to release it officially, or I'll even get brand new music made underneath what I wrote, which I am in the process of getting that done to stop. And that's just part of the work process that I go through as a songwriter.
Yeah, well, fortunately for you enjoy working with DJs and electronic music and releasing electronic music, because quite often, even if you wrote something to a completely different instrumental, it could be and presumably would be reworked as like kind of a dance mix type of thing anyway, which will allow your music to still live on somewhere.
Yeah. I treat these experiences as worthwhile because the songs I write can't have second lives if they get rejected, and it's still a song that has value and can be released. So it's frustrating and disheartening when stuff gets passed on by the producer, the DJ, but it's not done in complete vain. Like, you kind of understand what I'm saying, so.
Yeah, of course. You get the experience, and you've, as a songwriter, I mean, granted, the song is special to you. It's like you know, it's releasing part of yourself. It's kind of like a love child or something, you know, that you would like the world to see, but it's not done in vain. The experience always counts.
Yeah.
Tell me, what are your social media channels that people should find you on? You mentioned Instagram, and then you're on Twitter too, right?
Yep, I'm on Twitter, although I post Twitter. I definitely use Twitter. I'm just not, never quite understood how to master Twitter. I use it as just like an announcement board for stuff. One of my old personal assistants is like, you should get in fights with people on Twitter. I'm like, that is just not my personality to do that. So I don't know what to do with Twitter.
Well, I like Twitter. And the funny thing is that your assistant said that, whereas I tweeted like 2 days ago, like, what is it with certain people always having an argument with other people on Twitter? Like, and then even in the tweet, I said, do you really want to have your Wikipedia say best known for her beef with Beyonce? What is that about? Like, I don't use it for that. I use Twitter for direct interaction with people who support what I do. I encourage you to get into it. Twitter is cool. Instagram, of course, is like also great. But I think that in terms of like actual interactions with people, I like Twitter the best of all the social medias that I have. Because it allows me to...
Absolutely.
It's like having a text exchange with a total stranger or somebody that you like.
Yeah.
Well, Davis, I appreciate you joining me today and talking.
Oh. Yeah, thank you.
And I wish you the best of luck and in both your music and your sobriety and just everything else, because it sounds like you've got a lot going on. It's all promising, and I'm optimistic that the best will come for you.
Thank you so much. I really appreciate you bringing me on today, and I hope to talk to you again soon.
All right. Have a great day. Bye.
You too. Bye.
That was Real World Denver star Davis Mallory. His new single, Dance With Me, is available now on YouTube as well as iTunes for purchase. Visit him at davismallory.com, DavisMallory.com. We recorded that interview back in April of 2018, but unfortunately life has gotten away from me, as you might have noticed, and we haven't had a recent update, so I am well behind on posting that. Thank you again to Davis for joining me here on Party Foul Radio. I am Poyo Del Mar. I promise you another series of amazing celebrity interviews coming up in the very, very near future. We're going to wrap this episode up a little bit early, right after this. As you can tell from the content, it is a little bit dated. Pearl and I were able to record this a while back, but Pearl has been traveling, and so have I. So let us take a moment to talk to one of our sponsors, and we will be back to wrap up this episode of Party Foul Radio. Each and every episode of Party Foul Radio is brought to you by our sponsors, Daddy's Barbershop. Located at 4102 19th Street in the Castro, Daddy's Barbershop was voted San Francisco's favorite barbershop in the 2017 Bestie Awards. Go visit Arlen, Jesse, and all the men and women of Daddy's Barbershop to get your hair done for the summer. Daddy's Barbershop is a proud sponsor of Party Foul Radio. All right, everybody, that brings to a close this episode of Party Foul Radio. We are closing shop just a little bit early. As I mentioned, Pearl has been traveling all over. She discussed it early on in this podcast. Her birthday just passed, and she went to New York City to celebrate that, and she will be going to Hawaii soon after I get back from my current trip down to Puerto Vallarta. Now, I want to give you a heads up. I've got some great celebrity interviews. We've got pop duo Sophie Tucker. They had their huge hit Best Friend, followed by their current hit Batshit, now available. Go check those two out. They have been made huge by their inclusion in a series of Apple or iPhone ads. Probably everybody knows them from that, and they have had big breakover crossover success with Best Friend. We'll talk to them about all of that and much more. Plus, I brought in for a recent interview the incredible 80s/90s dance music pop R&B diva, Lisa Stansfield. Lisa is back with her new album, Deeper, and the first single from it is Never Ever. It's climbing the dance charts. It's currently in the top 20, and I'm excited to have her on as well. It's an incredible 40-minute interview where we're going to really know a lot more about the incredible talents of Lisa Stansfield. And last but never least, we've got with us out pop star Matt Bloom. You need to check him out. His new single, Are You Mad, is available now on YouTube. Very fun, very catchy. And Matt and I sit down for an in-depth conversation about what it means to be a queer pop star in this day and age, as well as some of the aggressions that people within our LGBTQ community face by what he termed as politics of respectability. I have personally fallen victim to this, and we discuss this and much more in an upcoming episode. You are listening to Party Foul Radio. I am Poyo Del Mar. Follow me on Twitter at the Glamazon, PDM, THEGLAMAZONPDM, as in Poyo Del Mar. And be sure to follow Party Foul Radio at Party Foul Radio on Facebook and Twitter. I'm going to give you a quick heads up. In the very near future, there will be some changes, I think, coming to our podcast, and you'll learn more about that, presumably in episode 107. So we look forward to having you join us again. Thank you for being here now, and thank you for tuning in. Party Foul Radio is over and out. It's over. It's over.